God did what the law could not do. God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving His Son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us. And by His blood, we have entry into eternal life, now by grace and by forgiveness. That's the great exchange.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Have you ever read through the Old Testament about all the animal sacrifices and wondered what was that all about? Sounds really gory, if you want my opinion. Well, today Pastor Wayne is going to illustrate the covenant God made in the Old Testament that was fulfilled by the sacrifice of Christ. Here he is with a message entitled, The Great Exchange.
I heard about this young man who was a huge, addicted football fan. And every year, for many years, he would buy tickets in advance to the Super Bowl and fly to wherever it's being held because that was just his yearly thing. Well, he splurged one year for two Super Bowl tickets at $2,000 a ticket, not realizing that it was actually going to be on the same day as his wedding. He didn't know what to do, so he put an ad in Facebook and asking if anyone would like to go in his place. And so the ad read, "The time will be 3:00 in the afternoon, Cornerstone Baptist Church. Her name is Tiffany." Well, I don't know if that went too well, that exchange. But today we're going to visit another more appropriate exchange as we take communion. My prayer is that today's message will actually unlock the Old Testament for you. If you catch this, it will unlock the whole sacrificial system and you'll catch it from the beginning to the end. You'll go, I got it, I got it. As we take communion, as I said, the scriptures don't say you have to take it every Sunday or every week or every month. It just simply says as oft as you take it. The goal is remember me. Don't do it as something perfunctory, as just something that becomes normal and forgotten and it becomes something very shallow and pale. But it has to be something that means a little bit. So that we ratchet back to Calvary and we understand this whole thing about the sacrifice, because that can get pretty weird when you hear about the Jewish sacrifices and that they do every year, you know, with the bulls and the lamb. You think, oh, I don't know. One thing I need you to understand is that when God would speak to people in whatever era that they were living in, God would always speak to them in the culture that they understood. So He's going to speak to Abraham in a culture that he understood about what was going to happen in the future and a whole sacrificial system that was about to unfold. He called a man named Abram, which means a respected father. He later changes his name to Abraham, which means the father of a multitude of nations, because his descendants or his tribe would go all over the world. Why? Well, you see, in those days, you didn't have armies or municipalities or cities or nations. You had tribes. And every tribe was its own, had a law unto itself. And usually the tribe would be run by, overseen by the patriarch, the father of the tribe of sons and daughters. And that's why in those days they would actually have not only wives, but several wives, because they had to accelerate their tribe for protection. And one tribe would war against another tribe, because again, you didn't have cities, you didn't have governments, you had tribes. So Abraham was going to have a tribe. But at first, when God said, you're going to be the father of many nations, he said, I don't even have a kid yet. I'm in trouble. I'm roadkill. And you're sending me from Ur of the Chaldees all the way down here to Israel, and I have nobody. I'm it. Me and my wife. And she don't shoot a gun very well. So we're in trouble. Well, God gives him a promise and says, I'm going to change your name to Abraham because you're going to have many nations. Well, in those days, when one tribe wanted to extend their rule or extend their land holdings, the only way to extend and gain more land is through war, tribal wars. And so one tribe would see another and they would attack and they would basically slay everybody. It was carnage. It was pretty bad back then. And it was all swords and hatchets. I mean, it was pretty cruel back then. But they would wipe out everybody from that tribe. And then they would take over their camels, their donkeys, etc., and their land. And then they would go again to the next tribe. Well, when they would take a tribe, and I'm going to draw some things here for you. When they would take a tribe and wipe them out, a lot of times some of them would surrender. So here's what the king would do. This would be the king here. Here's his crown. And so this is the king. And when he would take a tribe, he would have some survivors over here. Men, women, children, some survivors. But basically, he would have slain all the rest. So here's what he would do. If the king were benevolent at all, he would draw a line. Now, this would be about the size of a football field or two. So it's a very huge area. And he would, now, sorry, the carnage here is going to increase, but he would take all of the people, all of the warriors that they had slain, and he would line them up here, pile their bodies up over here. So it would look like a pretty bloody gauntlet here. Then the king would have his entourage and all of his regalia over here, all of his warriors, and they would stand there. Now, then the king would get maybe some kind of a secretary or a communicator, and this person would come out and read all of the stipulations of this new kingdom that these people here can be a part of if they do exactly what these commandments of this king says. So these people listen. And these people would, this one would say, hear ye, hear you, hear ye, here's the commandments of this new tribe. Now, after it's all been read, if these people say, okay, we will abide by it, then they would have to walk through this bloody gauntlet. When one of these men here would say, and remember, if any of you breaks any of these commandments, you will become like these people on the sides. Do you understand? And they say, yes, then walk. But remember, if you break any of these commandments, it is a one strike rule. You're done. We kill you. Because actually, you should all be dead right now. But we're going to give you a second chance. And when you come across this line and stand here, you are now slaves of this king. Now, if the king is mean, they became slaves. If the king is benevolent, they would become servants of the king. But the king would take care of them, but they're still servants. But they understand that they're under the jurisdiction of what they agreed to, this command. So now they are new citizens, no longer old. Everything is new, but they're servants of the king. And this is what will happen to you if you disobey any of these commands. Now, if this person said, no, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to work for you. Then these people would come and slay them and put their bodies over here. So it was extremely graphic. Now, if you came across this gauntlet and you came across this line, you would never forget what you saw. That bloody carnage would be burned into your mind. And so when you come across, you know that there's a different set of commands. And if you disobey, you die. Got it. Well, Abraham understood this because this is the culture in which he lived. So now God in Genesis chapter 15 has a very interesting scenario in Genesis 15. So if you will take out your notes, we're going to read what it says here in the book of Genesis. And then you'll begin to understand. Now, there's something called a suzerain treaty. A suzerain is an overlord or a king. So a suzerain covenant is what you just saw. Abraham knew that. It was well known in his area of what would take place should one tribe take over another. With that in mind, in Genesis 15, you're going to see a kind of a cryptic story here, but we'll explain it and you'll see that it makes a lot of sense. At the top of your notes and on the screen, let's see what the Lord says to Abram just before he changed his name to Abraham. Would you read it with me? Go. The Lord said to Abram, "Bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon." Abram brought all of these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves on either side, just like we saw there. Continue. Then birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was set, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. And when the sun had set and darkness had fallen, watch this, a smoking fire pot and a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram. Now, here's what's taking place. Abram is called from Ur of the Chaldees down, and God says, "I'm going to make you the father of many nations." So here's Abram here standing. And God says, "I want you to take some bulls, some goats, and lambs, and I want you to cut them in half." Now, this is going to get gross, so forgive me. So he would chop these up and put like the head over there. This is the filet mignon. I'm going to put it closer to me, and the brisket and stuff. And so he takes now a goat and he chops up a goat. Do you see how bloody this is getting right now? Sorry, lunch is next. And then he takes a sweet little lamb and cuts and hacks that thing up. And so it becomes extremely visual. And he takes another goat and cuts it and hacks it up and puts it over here. Now, God says to Abram, "You understand the suzerain covenant. You are going to leave your country and you're going to come under my rulership. And I'm going to give you commands, and I'm going to give you commandments, and I'm going to give you ordinances, and I'm going to give you statutes. And I want you to be willing to leave the Ur, the Chaldees, and all that you used to think, and I want you to come under my tutelage and my rulership." The Bible says that Abram then could not make that trek through this bloody gauntlet because he knew that if he broke one of God's commandments, he would immediately die. And so the Bible says all day he stood there because he was reticent. He was wringing his hands. He says, "No way, I can't do this. I know I'm gonna mess up. I would be cut in half in a week. I can't keep all of that. I'm not perfect. I'm going to make a mistake." And so he was wringing his hands all day. Birds of the air came on these carcasses and he shooed them away and then went back over here and said, "I can't do it. I can't do this. Because I know that if I walk here and stand here, I break one of God's covenants, I'm dead meat." In fact, the Bible says the wages of sin is. So he understood that. So I can't do it. All day passed. Afternoon came, the sun, and then it started to get dark. He couldn't make that walk. He couldn't make that covenant. He couldn't make that promise. I can't do it. The Bible says it this way. So when evening came, there appeared something like a smoking oven and a what? A flaming torch. And as he's standing here, something of a flame and smoke began to go through this. Do you remember in the Exodus, God led his people with a cloud by day and fire by night? So watch this. God knew that Abram and God knew that we could not keep all of his covenant, because if we do, we would die. So you know what God did? God said, you know, I'm going to make a covenant with myself, because in the original, you sin, you die. But you can't do that. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And listen, now the covenant is this. If you sin, I die. And I will make that covenant for you because I love you. And you sin, I die. Abraham couldn't understand that. He said, what? That's a love that I can't understand. That's a king whose heart for me I can't understand. But this is what I want you to do. Now here comes step two. In the Jewish sacrificial system, every year was something called the Day of Atonement. They would take bulls and goats and they would sacrifice them and put them on the altar like this. And they would ask God for forgiveness. And it was pretty bloody if they're doing a sacrifice like that. In our culture, we'd go, no way. But in their culture, that's what they did. What was God saying? God was saying, when you have that Day of Atonement and you sacrifice animals, I want you to remember the high priest is going to be asking for forgiveness for your family. You bring a goat, you bring a lamb, you bring a bull, and we sacrifice. And when it's pretty bloody, you will look at it and you will say, that should be me. Because the original is you sin, you die. But there's going to be a substitutionary sacrifice or a sacrificial system so that we will substitute another sacrifice for your sins, the blood of bulls, the blood of goats, etc. And when you see that, you as a dad and here's your family and that's your lamb that they slain, that they slayed, the priest will turn and say, that should be you. We know, but that's a substitute. We're grateful. And they pray for forgiveness. This would happen again and again throughout the years so the Jewish people would understand that that should be us, for the wages of sin is. But we couldn't keep that going. So a day came where the Bible says that, but God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. In other words, God himself laid aside his crown and glory and took off his regal robes and became a baby with swaddling clothes. All God, but all man. He was the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. So that when John the Baptist saw Jesus in the distance, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Oh, so you mean the promise of God is going to be fulfilled according to the law? That's why Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill the law. You sin, God dies. What? Yeah. And that's why we find here in the scriptures, and let's read this next scripture together, and it'll start to come together for you. Would you read out of Romans chapter 8? It says this. Read it. Go. God did what the law could not do. God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us. That's the great exchange. We sin, Jesus dies. That's the love of God for you and for me. And by His blood, we have entry into eternal life now by grace and by forgiveness. And that's why God calls us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and the blood of His Son gives us forgiveness of sin. So when we take communion, that cup is the blood, as it were, the blood of Christ for the forgiveness of sins. That bread is His body that was broken for you and for me. And so communion becomes a remembrance. Ah, that's what it's all about. So through the years, the Jewish people would have these yearly sacrifices, and they would say, that should be me. But God did a substitution for that so that I can live. And then when Jesus the Messiah comes, He doesn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. And so God's promise is now completed. In fact, let's read the next scripture, Hebrews chapter 10. Would you read it? Go. The sacrifices serve year after year to remind people of their sins. For the blood of bulls and goats can never take away sins. For this reason, when Christ was about to come into the world, He said to God, "You neither want nor are you pleased with sacrifices and offerings or with animals burned on the altar and the sacrifices to take away sins." He said this even though all these sacrifices were offered according to the law. Then He said, "Here I am, O God, to do Your will." So God does away with all the old sacrifices and puts the sacrifice of Christ in their place. So when Jesus came as the Lamb of God, He then was the sacrificial lamb that satisfied the law from the very beginning. And through His blood and through His sacrifice, we have entrance into the kingdom. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians says, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And Jesus then is crucified for us. And that's why Galatians 2:20 says it this way, "For I have been crucified with Christ, and the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me." And so now through grace, we are now in a dispensation or the New Testament of grace and forgiveness because of a loving King who sent His Son to die for us. So how do we remember that? Each time we take communion, we remember Him. It is by grace that we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. So now these scriptures are starting to make sense. Ah, now I'm getting it. Now it's not just some Jewish tradition of sacrifice. It was for them to remember that that should be me. And then Jesus comes and dies for us. And so when we take communion, we remember Him. How many of you are glad that Jesus is faithful and He is a sacrifice for our sins? Boy, I am. So today we're going to take communion together. And we're going to say, "Lord, thank You for Your sacrifice. Thank You, because really we should be dead." I mean, even if I asked you right now, how many of you have gone through an accident or something or a medical setback and you shouldn't be alive today, but we are. And the rest of us, we should be dead because of the sins, for the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But God, instead of allowing death to happen, He gives us entrance into a new kingdom with a new King who loves us so much. Oh, how grateful we are. So each time we take communion, we get to say thank You for Your faithfulness.
Even You've been listening to a message entitled The Great Exchange by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. We trust that today's message has helped you better understand the power of the cross and of God's amazing grace. Until next time, remember what Pastor Wayne said.
God did what the law could not do. God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving His Son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us. And by His blood, we have entry into eternal life, now by grace and by forgiveness. That's the great exchange.
Now, for Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you and aloha.